This is episode number 57 of the Fearless Presentations podcast, the fastest, easiest way to eliminate public speaking fear.
Want to absolutely eliminate public speaking fear? This podcast is the answer. Here's the guy who literally wrote the book on Fearless Presentations, Doug Stannert.
Hello, and welcome to the Fearless Presentations podcast brought to you by the Leaders Institute and fearlesspresentations.com. I'm your host, Doug Stannert, president of the Leaders Institute, and this is the podcast that helps people just like you get rid of public speaking fear and increase your success by increasing your confidence when you communicate. This is episode number 57, and in this episode, I'm going to give you 7 ways that you can end your presentation with a bang. You know, so if you're looking for those presentation endings, we're going to give you a bunch of them here to kind of work with. I start with a few things that a lot of presenters do that you definitely want to eliminate from your ending, and I've also created a really simple handout for you with a summary of all the different content on the podcast. So just go to fearlesspresentations.com, do a search for the words "end your presentation with a bang," and you can download it for free. So by the way, this podcast is brought to you by fearlesspresentations.com. And one of the things that we haven't talked about a lot in the past, I kind of reference it every week about the Fearless Presentations channel on YouTube, but we're starting to put a lot more content on that. So if you like the podcast, then you're going to love the videos that we do. So just go to YouTube, do a search for Fearless Presentations. The channel should come up pretty quickly and easily. And we also have a number of the 2-day Fearless Presentations classes coming up in cities all over the world, really. We've got classes coming up in Minneapolis, Milwaukee, Charlotte, San Francisco, Baltimore, Houston, and Las Vegas. We've also got classes coming up in November in Dublin and London. And then next month we have Tampa, Phoenix, Detroit, Atlanta, Indianapolis, Seattle, New York. So if you're interested in going to classes in any of those cities, go to fearlesspresentations.com to register. And remember that we only allow 10 people per class. So once the class fills up, we have to close the registration. So if you're interested in any of those, make sure and go to fearlesspresentations.com today. So let's get on with today's podcast. Hey, so our topic today is how to end your presentations with a bang. And one of the things that can really be challenging for a lot of speakers is that we design this fantastic presentation and then we get all the way to the end and then it just kind of flops, you know, because we don't really have a really strong ending to close on. The analogy I like to use is kind of like when I was a kid. I remember watching it might have been the 84 Olympics. I don't know. I was young, and there was a marathon runner got right inside the stadium, just about to cross the finish line, and cramped up and was trying to crawl across the finish line. So here, this fantastic athlete was just struggling at the end. And sometimes I kind of feel that way with people when they're giving their presentations. We do a fantastic presentation and then we struggle at the end. So the things that we're going to cover in this podcast are going to be things that will help you eliminate that kind of challenge at the end and really end with a bang. So the things that you want to really keep in mind about the ending is that there are certain things that you probably shouldn't do. We'll start with those. So the 3 things that a lot of speakers will do that can cause a real challenge to the end of the speech are, number one, ending with a Q&A session. To me, that's the thing that drives me up the wall, is when people have a great speech and then they end with kind of a lackluster question and answer period. The reason why is because a lot of things that can happen in the Q&A session, regardless of us, it doesn't really matter a lot of times what we do. It's more what the audience kind of does for us. A lot of those things can be challenging. I remember when I was in junior high school, my junior high school football coach used to say that he was a strong running game kind of guy. And so he used to say that, yeah, when you pass, there's 3 things that can happen and 2 of them are bad. And that's kind of the way I feel like with the Q&A session, is that, yes, if you get a really good question, and yes, if you're able to answer those questions that you get from the audience in a very effective way, you can end on a bang. But if you end with a really crappy question, that's the last thing that people see. And so if you are going to do a Q&A session, I typically will, if I'm forced to do a Q&A session, what I'll do is I'll put the Q&A maybe 5 or 10 minutes before I close. So I'll kind of just toward the ending, I'll ask questions and then I'll jump back in and end my presentation with one of these other types of endings that we're going to talk about in the session a little later. So from my perspective though, just so you know, I don't really do Q&A sessions a lot. I will encourage people to ask me questions throughout my presentation. The reason why I do that is because I want to know if somebody's confused, if they have a question, I would much rather them ask that question of me when they're confused, not wait until the end after I've spoken for another 15, 20, 30 minutes for them to ask the question. That means that whole time between the time that they had the question and the time that they ask it is going to be a time that there's some confusion in the audience. So be very, very careful about doing the Q&A sessions at the end. It can cause a lot of challenges for you. Second thing that you want to keep in mind about, or thing that you want to eliminate anyway from your ending is a thank you. That's a lot of times we don't know what else to say, so we just think, you know, thanks for having me out here, right? What that does is there's a lot of poise that a speaker has when he or she stands up to give a presentation, and you're seen as the expert. So what happens when you do that little thank you at the end, that apologetic thank you is what I kind of call it, is that you're giving away a lot of your power to the audience. You're taking away some of that esteem that you've built up. So obviously, are we saying we should never thank our audience? No. I mean, there are situations, especially at the beginning, where you might thank somebody for inviting you to speak, but the thing that really kind of annoys me is when folks say, well, thank you for your time. You know, thank you for, like, their time is more important than my time, right? I don't think you want to set that kind of precedent when you're giving your speeches anyway, when you're giving your presentations. The third thing that you want to eliminate is you want to avoid that abrupt ending. That's where we've kind of set all of our content and then we just stop. And so there's got to be some type of transition. There's got to be something that you give to the audience to let them know that, hey, we want this to kind of sink in a little bit. And so your ending can really help with that. I'll give you a good example of this. I've if you've heard my podcast, if you've read my blog post, if you've read my books, a lot of times I'll talk about that very first challenge that I had in front of a group when I was an intern in college. And I was working for a big oil company. At the end of the 3-month internship, I had to fly in and give a presentation to some of the vice presidents. And by the way, I kind of over-exaggerate that a little bit. It was a really devastating, in my head anyway, it was a really devastating challenge that I had. But I think the thing that really made it so sad for me or frustrating for me was that I went through my entire presentation really, really quickly, and then I just kind of ended. And I was out of content. I didn't have anything else prepared. I had a memorized speech and I'd probably forgotten some of it. And I said it really, really fast. But at the end, it was just kind of an abrupt ending. So most of the people that were sitting around the audience, sitting around the table, listening to me speak, were just like, is that it? You know, I could tell by the look on their faces that they're going, are you done? And I just kind of sat down and I'm embarrassed, right? So that abrupt ending can be one of the biggest challenges that we have as a speaker. So you really want to take some time to prepare how you're going to end the presentation before you actually get up to do it. It's one of those things that you probably want to practice a little bit before you actually start your presentation or before you deliver it anyway. So some of the things that we're going to cover in this session are going to be things that you can add in as an ending that can really make the presentation come alive, make it much more effective. Just real quick, before we get into the 7 things that you can do to end your presentation a little bit better, the one little caveat that I want to point out is that you want to set up your ending ahead of time. So the way that we teach people how to do this in the Fearless Presentations class, when people come to our 2-day classes, is that we will kind of go through a structure, a fairly rigid structure of how to design a presentation. You start with an introduction, you give them your content, and then you give them your conclusion, your summary. So since we've given them the introduction to know exactly how many points we're going to cover and they know exactly what we're going to do, we're actually at the very beginning of the presentation setting up the ending. And that makes it a whole lot easier. If you don't do that, then some of the things that you can add in are things like, like, so as we get toward the last point, you know, something like that, something that just kind of lets people know that, hey, we're getting close to a close. By the way, for most people, because the presentations that they tell or that they deliver are so kind of boring, that a lot of times you'll get more people's attention if you're telling them that you're about to close. If you have a really good presentation and you give them that kind of fair warning, you know, like the 2-minute warning, like in football, then you'll have a much more warm ending for your presentation. So without further ado, let's cover the 7 things that you can do to kind of close your presentation out and make it more effective for yourself. So the very first thing that I suggest that people do is just to do a summary. That's the fastest, easiest way to end your presentation so that everybody knows that you're done. Just summarize what you've talked about. And again, this is the main technique that we teach people how to use in the Fearless Presentations class. And the reason why is because it's just versatile. You can use this in business presentations. You can use it in persuasive presentations. You can use it in just about any type of presentation that you have. So basically just kind of summarize things. So for instance, the technique that we teach in our classes is to design your presentations around 3 main key points or 4 main key points, maybe 5 at the most. So just a few key bullet points. And then in your introduction, you're kind of telling them what those key things are. You give the bullet points one at a time with some detail. And then at the end, just say, oh, so in summary, what we've covered are bam, 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 bam. You go through the bullet points one more time. The reason why this is so easy is because most of the time those bullet points are up on a slide. And so it's real easy for you just to kind of read the bullet points through the slide. And it's actually very effective. It's one of the most effective ways to give a conclusion to your presentation is to just summarize it. So by the way, just in case you're listening to this in your car or you're listening to this while you're jogging or something like that, we created a handy handout for you that makes it much easier to kind of access each one of these things. The thing that the handout will do for you is it gives you a summary of each of the items that I'm going to cover, as well as it will tell you situations to kind of use these. So what purpose do you have for your presentation? You can align that with the type of ending that you use. So let's jump back in. So point number 2, or the second thing that you can do, is to add a story or an anecdote. Now, I'm a big, big, big believer in stories. And in fact, if you've listen to any of our podcasts, if you've read any of my blogs, if you've gone to any of our seminars or programs, you're going to find that we have a high concentration of stories in our own personal content and the way that we teach other people how to deliver content. The reason why is because stories are just a fantastic way to capture people's attention, hold the attention over a longer period of time. You build rapport with the audience, you build your own credibility. So there's just lots of great things that stories will do for you. The main thing that stories do, though, is they help you reduce your nervousness. And so it's much easier to kind of get into a good story than to deliver just a bunch of data or a bunch of bullet points. So a good way to end your presentation is with a story as well. Give you a good example of this. I was doing a breakout session for a big convention a couple of weeks ago, and it was about how to design a technical presentation. And so I started my presentation with a story about my first day in macroeconomics class in college, which, by the way, was really, 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 really boring. And I told that story, or I gave a description of that first day of the economics class in a very over-exaggerated way to make it kind of funny, right? So at the end of the presentation, I gave a success story. So I told the kind of the negative, you know, basically what I'm doing at the beginning is what I'm saying, if you don't do these things that I'm suggesting that you do, you have the likelihood of being boring without ever having to tell them that. And then at the end, I gave a success story about somebody who went through my presentation class, delivered a really data intensive thing. I actually worked for the Center for Disease Controls, the CDC, and he had to give a really data intensive presentation. And of course he nailed it. So at the end, he got lots of great compliments from the people that are in the audience. So I just kind of told that in the form of a story. I told that story about what he did and used that as my ending. And again, so the subtle thing that I'm telling them is, hey, if you do the things that I'm suggesting that you do, you'll have a great ending. So those two contrasting stories, one at the negative one at the beginning, and then the really positive one at the end, can be a great way to kind of sandwich the presentation. So just like what we did with the summary, we did the introduction at the beginning and then the summary at the end. So the endings that you choose, if they have some type of relation with the way that you started, it makes it more fun, more interesting, more memorable, and the audience will really like it more. If you're struggling for content, if you say, God, where can I get funny stories, or how can I end on a really positive note? You can do an anecdote. So anecdotes are kind of funny stories. Sometimes they're kind of jokes, but they're not really. I don't really tell them as jokes. I kind of use them as teaching points. And a good place to get these is from Reader's Digest. So you can actually go to rd.com. By the way, we'll put all the information for the links that we're providing for you in the show notes. So make sure and go to fearlesspresentations.com, go to the blog section, and you'll see the show notes for this particular podcast or the section. So if you go to rd.com, readersdigest.com, they have a special section called jokes. And a lot of times they're going to be punchline, you know, like one-liners and that kind of thing, which those aren't really helpful for us, but you'll get into the funny stories or the funny incidents. And a lot of times you can kind of use those fairly easily. So one of the things that I like to do when I'm training new instructors is to kind of show them how to use these funny stories in their classes. You know, a lot of times people think of classes as being boring. So if you can insert something funny or interesting, it makes it more fun for the audience. So I like to challenge my new instructors to say, hey, go to Reader's Digest, find some funny story, and if you like it, I'm going to insert it into the class that we're teaching somewhere along the way. And one of the instructors that I was teaching, she had a sense of humor as well, so she picked an anecdote about a woman who was sick at work. And the anecdote was fairly short and sweet, but it was basically a woman was not feeling well, and so she goes to her boss to say, hey, I think I'm going to need to take the rest of the day off. And the boss, having just gotten over a cold himself, said, oh my gosh, I hope it's not something I gave you. Well, one of the other coworkers who overheard this whole conversation piped up and he said, God, I hope not. She's got morning sickness. You know, so it's just in a very short, easy way. It's kind of a funny story. So that was the one she gave me. So she picked that one out of Reader's Digest. And like I said, she had a sense of humor as well. I was like, oh my gosh, now I'm teaching a presentation skills class. How in the world am I going to insert that into my seminar, into my workshop? So I ended that story or ended that presentation with the story and then concluded with, you know, so one of the big things about designing your presentation is kind of knowing your audience. And so I just found a way to tie it in. So sometimes you can kind of take those funny anecdotes and tie them into your presentation a little bit. Sometimes you have to get a little creative, but if you can do that, it'll make the ending of your presentation really, you know, come off with a bang and make it more fun. The third thing that you can do as an ending is it's very similar to the story that we talked about before just now, but you can give an additional ending to a story that you told in the presentation. So like, for instance, one of the things that I will do quite often is I will tell that Atlantic Richfield story where I had the crappy presentation and I felt real bad about it. Well, what I did over the next year, though, is I spent a tremendous amount of time studying public speaking. I was just so embarrassed. I said, I am never going to have that happen to me again. So I did a lot of studying. I took additional classes, did all kinds of stuff, and I did it. I was very intense for about a year. The next year, almost a year to the day of the time that I had that really crappy presentation in Dallas, I got an award for being the International Student of the Year for my degree, which was really, it was really neat. I mean, I was kind of surprised, and I had to fly into Houston to accept the award, and there were going to be like 400 people in the audience, and so I was terrified. But I knew that I had been training, and so during that presentation, I kind of started with something a little funny and said thank you and accepted the award, and it was just. I did really well. I mean, when I walked off the stage, I was like, oh my God, I nailed that, right? So it was a big stark difference. So a lot of times I'll tell that first presentation, that first story somewhere in the presentation to where I'm using that as a, hey, this is a bad example, and then end with the ending of that story. And because I've done these things, I've kind of turned it around. So ending the story as your conclusion can be a really fun way to kind of sum up your presentation. So the next one is you can ask a question. Now, if you recall, I said you don't want to end with a Q&A session. You don't want to end by having your audience ask you questions. I would much rather have those questions asked of me throughout the presentation, not at the end. But you can actually ask a question of your audience. And one of the techniques that we spend a lot of time on in the Fearless Presentations class is how to ask an open-ended question to your audience so you get a lot of people to respond. When I say open-ended, basically we're asking an opinion-asking question. We're asking the audience to give us an opinion about something that we're talking about. And the easiest way to do that is after you have your topic and your key bullet points and you've summed them up pretty well, you've actually explained them pretty well, then at the end, you can just use your topic as an open-ended question. So like, for instance, if I'm talking about the three-point talk, if I'm kind of giving a presentation about why people should use the three-point talk, I might title that, you know, if you use the three-point talk, you'll save a lot of time in the presentation design. So if that's my title, then at the end of the presentation, I'll just say, so based on what we've talked about so far, if you guys use the three-point talk more often, in what ways could you see that's helping you save some time? And then I just let them go. And hopefully I'll get 5, 6, 7, 10, 15 people in the audience to give me information or give me a response. Because every time they give me a response to that question, they're verifying that what I've said is true. They're actually reinforcing what I've said. And the cool thing is a lot of times they're going to recap the entire presentation for me because they're going to talk about the things that I've already covered in the presentation and say how this is a good part of this. So that it can be a fairly challenging way to end a presentation, but if you're feeling comfortable and feeling confident when you deliver your speeches, then this is a good way to reinforce your content, especially if you're doing training or if you're teaching something in your presentation. So ask a question of the audience. A really good open-ended question can really help. Now keep in mind that if you ask a crappy question, you're going to get the same kind of result that you would if you ended with a question and answer session. So if you ask a one-word answer, so if you said something like, so based on what I've said so far, what's the best way to reduce the amount of time that you use to design your presentation? Well, that's a one-word answer, and the only answer they can come up with is a three-point talk, you know, or they may get smart alecky and give you a totally different answer just to kind of throw you off, you know, so it'll sound kind of manipulative and that kind of thing. So ask open-ended questions. Don't ask a really simple one answer kind of question. Get their opinion at the end and they'll reinforce the content that you've just delivered. Now, one of the things that we always like to do in a presentation of any type is end it with the fourth one, which is a call to action. So sometimes my call to action will actually be in the title and the key concepts that I'm going to cover. So like, for instance, if my topic is to use the three-point talk, then I'm going to give them details about the ways that they can actually use this in their own life. And bullet point number one will be to do a certain thing. And bullet point number two will be to do another thing. And bullet point number three will be to do another thing. So basically, when I give my summary at the end and I just summarize those key points, I'm asking them for a call to action. I'm asking them to do those things. An easier way to do that, by the way, though, is to, instead of summarizing your content at the end, just give them one single thing that you want them to do and make that your call to action. So let's say, for instance, that I'm working for a manufacturing company and we need to purchase a new piece of equipment. So my conclusion will be very simple. So basically I would say, in conclusion, the thing that I'm suggesting that we do is buy this piece of equipment and that's it, right? What I like to do when I'm doing a call to action like this, when I'm summarizing with a call to action or when I'm concluding with a call to action, is give them a benefit if they do that thing, right? So, and a lot of times the benefit that I'm going to instill in the audience is going to be those things that I've already covered in the presentation. So going back to the three-point talk. So if the action I want you to take, or the thing that I want you to pull from this presentation, is to use the three-point talk. And if you do that, you're going to save yourself a lot of time in the design process. So basically, I'm giving them a full sentence, a full statement with what we call the action benefit. So give them an action you want them to take, a call to action, and then tell them how they're going to benefit from it. And those actually work really, really well. It's a fantastic way to end a presentation to where you're ending on a high note. They remember exactly what you want them to do, and it aids in retention pretty dramatically. All right, so the sixth one, this is the one that's a little bit more complicated. The first few are things that most people are going to do anyway at some point in your life or sometime in your career. The last couple that we're going to do, though, are things that are kind of more on the elite speaking kind of level, and they're things that you have to really prepare. When you do these things, it will sound like you're kind of coming up with these things spontaneously, but these things never happen spontaneously. So you want to really prepare them. So number six is to do what we call the echo close. Now, the echo close is something that you'll see a lot of politicians do, the good ones anyway. So if you see folks that have a cadence at the end where they're trying to instill a lot of, they're trying to inspire the audience. They're trying to get the audience to be moved with emotion. You also see a lot of motivational speakers that use this technique. And basically, just to make it real simple here, the echo close is where you're telling them something like a statement. You're giving them a statement, and you take one word or one part of that statement, and then you repeat it over and over again in a different way. The way I like to use this, by the way, is with a quote. I'll take a famous quote, maybe one that people have heard of before, and then I'll echo that quote in different ways to help instill what I want them to get across. So, for instance, there's a good George Orwell quote that said, if it is possible to cut a word out, always cut it out. So I'll take that as my premise. So George Orwell said, if it's possible to cut a word out, then do cut it, right? So he's trying to say, be concise. So I'll end my presentation. If I'm giving a speech on how to deliver presentations more concisely, I'll start with that George Orwell quote, and then I'll talk about things that they need to cut over and over and over again and make it kind of a cadence. So I would say something like, if it's possible to cut a word out, always cut it out. So cut the fluff, cut the repetitious bullets, cut the platitudes. And if you all do all that, you're going to cut the confusion that your audience will have at the end of the presentation. So I'm just basically using that quote and then reinforcing it a few times with a repetitious kind of word. There's another one I've used before from Plutarch. Plutarch said, "The mind is not a vessel to be filled, but a fire to be kindled." So when you present, kindle the fire of knowledge, kindle the fire of enthusiasm, kindle the fire of humor, kindle the fire of empathy. And when you kindle the fire of learning from your audience will love your presentations, you know, that kind of thing. So basically you're using that cadence to build up the close to a crescendo. Like I said, it's something that you'll want to practice. That's one of those things that you want to have down pat. You want to kind of memorize those things so that you have them down pat. The neat thing about it is that if you come up with a really good one, a lot of times you can use that in different presentations consistently. So it's one of those things that, like, for instance, Les Brown, one of my favorite motivational speakers, especially from the 90s or so, he had this phrase that he used at the conclusion of every single one of his presentations. It was his signature close. And it's something that you knew that Les Brown was finished because he gave that signature close. So, by the way, I'll see if I can pull it up on YouTube. If I can find a copy of it on YouTube, I'll put it in the show notes. But it's one of those things that's real. It's an inspiring ending to the presentation that makes it really fun. So you can do the same thing. All right. So the last one, the number seven, the thing that you can do that's, like I said, it's one of the more elite kind of things, but it's one of those things that you will have seen it before, probably in the recent past. It's the one more thing close. Steve Jobs used this a lot. So Steve Jobs would, anytime he was uncovering the new tech for his company, whether it was a new iPhone or whatever it was, he would take the most, the coolest, the best part of whatever this new product was, and he would cut that one out of his presentation. He would save that. Maybe that would be the thing that most people would start with. He'd say that toward the end, and he would actually go through his regular close, and then if you think it's kind of over, he'd say, "Oh, by the way, one more thing." Right. And then he would tell them the really cool thing, the thing that they're like everybody was really waiting for. And so he made that a part of the way that he presented. Everybody knew that that you always wanted to stick around at the end to get the one more thing, and it became kind of his thing. So I know Marvel does this with their movies. You know, they right after the credits, there's going to be something new that's going to set up the next movie. And so when a new Marvel movie comes out, a lot of times you'll see people watching the entire credits so that they can see what's going to happen next. People at concerts, musicians will do this a lot. Comedians, when they do their entire presentation, their concert or whatever, and then, you know, if everybody applauds, you know, they'll come out and do an encore, you know, that kind of thing. So it's the same type of thing. So the one more thing can be one of those things that you can add into your presentation or conclude your presentation with that can make it a little bit more fun. So these are seven things that you can do to end your presentation. Obviously, you want to pick just the one that is going to be most applicable to the type of presentation that you're delivering. And we gave you a trusty handout. All you have to do is go to fearlesspresentations.com. You can download that trusty handout, and it'll walk you through the different things the types of speeches or so that each one of these things can be most effectively used for. So you don't have to do a whole lot of thought in order to come up with a really good presentation ending. Just kind of go through the handout. So hopefully it's been very helpful for you. Make sure and leave some comments if you have questions or if there's things that you want us to cover in future sessions. Make sure and leave us that in a comment on the show notes page. And we'll see you next week on the Fearless Presentations podcast.
Subscribe to this podcast for new public speaking secrets each week.